Well, it's that time again here on Northumberland 89.7 Week in Review, and it's my pleasure to welcome John Hill to the show again as normal. He is my co-host after all. Good morning, John.
Good morning. What? Good afternoon. We've done it again. We've messed up our time.
I think that happens when you show up at 5 in the morning and the hours just sort of run into themselves, actually. So, we got a great show going on, but right now I do want to point out a couple things before we get on with the show.
Sure.
I mean, there's a big petition going on to save the trailer park downtown off the beach. Some are for it, some are getting it.
We've got a new consulting group that is looking into all the possible uses that can be made of the beach property. And again, the issue of the trailer park is coming into focus. So a lot of people are getting upset about that. They don't want the trailer park to go.
Well, I tell you right now, I, for one, think it's a great thing to have it here because I do know that there are a lot of out-of-towners that come. They rent it for a couple of months, and there's a waiting list to get in there.
There is, and, the people have a good use without having to give up a portion of the beach that maybe a private developer would want if they came into the spot. There has been some suggestion that a boutique hotel be set up on the premises, but then most people that would come to a boutique hotel will want private access to the beach.
Absolutely.
So it's something we have to weigh what we're going to give up in order to get any accomplishments.
Well, I know from experience, because I used to live just behind the trailer park on Charles Street there. It's only about two houses and a dental, and of course the Y is there as well. It's a great little location if you're living down there. And I do know that people who rent that spot, they're there for a couple of months. It's a family vacation.
It's usually the same people coming back and year after year.
They are. And the thing is that if someone has friends from, say, Wasaga Beach or some other Minden or some other part of Ontario, and they want to visit them down there, opposed to paying $300 a week to rent a place, which I'm sure is really under cost right there. It's probably more like five. And they can stay with them down at the trailer like they would normally do, then those extra $500 or $600 that they would be spending at a hotel, motel, Holiday Inn would then go to the town.
Well, most of the people that spend time at the trailer park end up spending the whole summer there, which means that they are spending money in town. And I think that's something that we have to look at when the consultants take their look at what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, it seems to me that that's something a consultant would overlook, though.
Well, you know, Jim, there's one other thing that's happening. And, in the old days, they used to call it spin. Spin was a situation where two people had different interpretations of the facts, and one would highlight one set of facts at the expense of the other. But anymore, since the Trump came to power, we're using some new language. And one of them is fake news. And the other, Kellyanne Conway, thank you, is alternate facts.
An alternate fact.
Yeah. I mean, we sort of laugh what's going on in the United States with the alternate facts and the fake news. But a situation arose quite recently in Cobourg where we're getting into the same sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
There was a letter sent by Derek Paul, the head of the Lakefront Utilities, talking about the results of the Ontario Energy Board ruling on an increase or proposed increase in hydro rates for the town. And Derek Paul put his spin on it, and then that letter was covered quite extensively by Northumberland Today, by Valerie MacDonald. And then at the council meeting recently, Mayor Gil Brockenier, who is the mayor and also the head of Holco, which owns
Lakefront
Utilities, sort of lectured council that he was sort of dissatisfied that the Cobourg Taxpayers Association had put it on their website that their intervention in these hearings had saved the ratepayers in Cobourg a substantial amount of money. And then the mayor, and here's my point of criticism, comes down without any opportunity for the other side to rebut him, says nothing could be further from the truth. In other words, the mayor is coming out and calling a citizens group in town liars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems to me that they're liars if they are misrepresenting the facts. In other words, if it's not spin, but alternate facts, then I think the mayor would be justified in doing that. But we don't know, because nobody has ever given the CTA the opportunity to address the issue, to say whether or not what is pointed out in their website is accurate or not. And we want to give our listeners the opportunity to judge this thing fairly. So I'm going to be putting to our guest today questions that the mayor would propose and allowing the CTA to answer, and it will be up to the listeners to determine whether or not the mayor was giving a spin or whether he was giving alternate facts.
Right, so there'll be an opportunity to ask questions that we probably wouldn't hear.
That we didn't hear at the council meeting, because, of course, none the public nor the press asked questions.
Now, was this particular, I don't want to say warning, but this particular information that the mayor was letting out, was this on the docket? Was this
no, it was. There was a letter posted by Derek Paul as to the results of the OEB hearings. And then the mayor came down upon himself to come out and tell council what the real story was behind it, and telling them not to believe things that they might hear that emanated from the CTA. So our guests today are Brian Lambert, who was one of the persons that attended the Ontario Energy Board hearing, and Ken Strauss, who was another person attending on behalf of the CTA as an intervener. So welcome, gentlemen, to Week in Review.
Good afternoon,
guys.
Now, Brian, first of all, let me just to give us some background on this. I understand that every 4 years, the local utility company has to file documents if they want increases. And then this proposed increase has to be approved by the Ontario Energy Board. Is that correct?
Yes and no. The term used to be 4 years. So the last review was in 2012, effective or ending in 2016, which and so the OEB, as a step to help the utility companies reduce their cost of these applications and hearings and so on, extended the term to 5 years. So this one will go from 2017 to 2021. Okay, so it's a change thing. Just a very minor correction on something you said in your intro. The OEB thing was not about utility rates. Okay, the utility rates are provincially set, and, you know, Hydro One and so on. This was about the delivery charges, which Louis, as a regulated...
Louis being the Lakefront Utilities Corp.
As a regulated industry, okay, they have to go to the OEB to get approval for it. But it's the delivery rates, and in Cobourg, that amounts to 20% to 30% of your bill, depending on your situation.
Okay,
so just a minor thing. Another bit of housekeeping, perhaps. There's been a lot of huffing and puffing and noise about Lakefront whining about some of the costs that this intervention process has cost them. And they were claiming that they were unwarranted and so on, and they filed an objection with the OEB to disallow about $8,000 worth of costs. Okay, and that's between the three interveners. The CTA's part of that was $72, which was for an FOI, Freedom of Information Act, inquiry. Okay? In a decision order that came out just a couple of days ago, the OEB totally rejected Lakefront's objections and awarded full costs to the interveners.
Now, there were three interveners, you say.
Yeah, there's Energy Probe, and there's VECC, and their full name is a great big long thing, and the CTA.
Now, those other two, they usually intervene on all applications across the province, isn't that correct?
Yeah, they do. Some people have used the term professional interveners, and that's perhaps accurate. but it's part of the, it's in response to the OEB's, the Ontario Energy Board's, mandate and policy to encourage public participation in these reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like these guys are doing anything shady or anything else. They're representing, you know, their representation is very good. And I'm sure Ken will agree with you, or agree with me, sorry. We were treated very, very well by them.
Yeah,
okay? We were treated very professionally. We were given all of the help we could possibly ask for. And they knew their stuff. They took apart the lakefront's application line by line, and pointed out numerous errors and inconsistencies and areas where their economic models had flaws, and they just went at them. And it was all done very professionally.
So these were not alternate facts. These are the facts.
These are the facts. Okay.
Well, the mayor said at council that the CTA put forward a big bulk of material, only 25% of which was relevant. Is that true?
No, that's erroneous information put out by the mayor and also Lakefront. Okay, part of the OED rules, so the rules that we had to abide by, is, and as part of the process, is you ask questions based on the application. And there was like 2,000 pages of documentation that we had to wade through. Every question we asked had to specifically reference by document, by page, the thing we were questioning. So if it was in Louis's application documentation, and they're saying 75% of it was not relevant, does that mean that 75% of Louis's documentation was not relevant? And why did they supply it then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other side of that is, if they supplied it, it's fair game for questioning.
Well, I think anybody who puts anything forward is fair game for questioning.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're dealing with people's money.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
We're looking at a rising cost in hydro.
Yep.
That's geared specifically through lakefront utility.
Yeah, but let's separate hydro as like the energy cost from the services cost, which is the delivery and stuff, which is really what we're talking about here.
Right.
This whole process has nothing to do with the electricity cost.
How much has our delivery increased? As a percentage?
It depends on who you are, because there are different rates for various users. There are the small users, the normal household users, and the large industrial users. I believe Gill came up with a number of a 16% increase in 10 years for the distribution charges. He was saying this as opposed to the Hydro One distribution charges. I look back at the numbers for 2006, i.e. 10 years ago, and the increase in the charges paid to Louis, that's for all customers, industrial and home, went up by about 27.78%, I believe is the number, in the last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, an alternate fact that he says 16, I say 27.
Mm-hmm.
And my numbers are based on the OEB filings by Lakefront Utilities. Yeah.
This is one of the key things that is a consistent theme throughout all of this stuff. The CTA stuff, every time, is referenced back to source documentation.
Mm-hmm.
None of the Lakefront stuff has ever been referenced back to source documentation.
Now, has the mayor or Lakefront in general supplied any kind of information, any kind of documentation as to...
None.
Nothing?
None.
I see.
Nothing in regard to their criticism. As Brian pointed out, they supplied well over 2,000 pages
mm-hmm.
of documentation justifying why they should raise their prices.
Was it a lot of double talk in those pages?
No, it was a lot. Heavy, heavy technical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And economic models and...
Hundreds of pages of spreadsheets.
Yeah, it was just mind-boggling.
Mm. John?
Now, the... Valerie McDonald is quoting the I guess it's Lakefront Utilities, is saying that the average cost to the homeowner will only increase like about 21 cents. Is this really worth getting worked up about?
Okay. The 21 cents is one of these alternate facts that seems to creep out. Okay, and we don't know where they got it. The facts, as set out in the OED documentation, is that back in July, the OED sent around a rate change notice locally and said that Louis was asking for $1.15 per month per customer.
Right.
Okay. In late November, I think, after their decision order came out, they sent around another circular saying the result was 88 cents per month per customer, okay? And, yeah, at a personal level, 88 cents doesn't sound like a whole bunch to get excited about.
Well, it's a 22-cent difference at that point.
Yeah, but they were claiming 21 cents. So there's a big gap between 21 and 88. The other thing is, these are micro numbers, you know, individual numbers. Louis got 10,000 odd customers.
Mm-hmm.
So when you multiply all of that out, the saving or the change, you know, amounts to $775,000 over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of coin.
Yep.
In the website, though, didn't the CTA said that they'd only saved the taxpayers like $600,000+?
Yeah, you're right, and that's because we calculated, we did a four-year, we said over 4 years, okay, and weren't aware of the five-year term change that the OED had made. So the corrected number, if you would, using the OED's five-year term is $772,000.
Well, the mayor says that the CTA didn't save the ratepayers a cent. So all of this would have been handled whether or not the CTA and the other interveners got involved. Is that correct?
No, that's more erroneous information. Lakefront didn't volunteer to have that, their $1.15 ask reduced.
Mm-hmm.
It came about through the intervention and the negotiation with Lakefront. Ken and I and Paul Pagnuolo spent 2 days in Toronto at a settlement conference. The only ones at the table were us and Lakefront.
And BECC and...
Well, yeah, the other interveners. I'm sorry. Yeah, when I say the interveners, I say us. Like,
well,
all of
it. Here's a question for you. Everybody on council has a particular portfolio. Someone's in the park, someone's on the road, someone's doing... land development, and is there anybody looking after Lakefront?
Not as a portfolio. Gil is a director of, he's the chairman of the board of Holdco,
mm-hmm.
and he is a director on Louis. In my 2 years here in Cobourg, I have never heard Gil make a report to council regarding Holdco or Louis. The letter from Derek Paul is the first one in my recollection. And for other purposes, we had looked back through a number of years of town council meeting minutes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
No mention Louis, no mention Holdco, nothing.
So is it, not to say it's never ever been mentioned, because it could have been mentioned behind closed doors. But I'm just saying,
not publicly.
No, not publicly, but what I'm also alluding to...
So what are they hiding, Jim?
Well, that would bring my question, though, because it would seem to me that if I was a member of council, and I'm not, folks, but if I was, I would want to know what's going on there. Why is it that our council members are not questioning this material? Why are they not getting involved?
We don't know.
And if they're not getting involved, why are we voting for these people? Why are these people in that kind of seat, taking that kind of power, deciding our fate... when they don't even know what's going on with our money and some of our utilities.
Well, the mayor also said that this cost of having these interveners, specifically CTA, was costing Cobourg a whole lot of money. what do you have to say about that?
More erroneous facts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The town of Coburg was not a participant in the OEB hearings. They're not party to this. So how did it cost them anything?
Okay. Because the party was Lakefront Utilities, which is a private company.
Which is a private company, which Derek Paul, the president of Louis, has shouted from the rooftops numerous times as an excuse as to why he didn't have to give out information. Okay? It's a private company.
Well, maybe that's why the council people are totally aware of it, because they're not privy to private information that way.
But Gil's a director.
Yeah, but he's a director of that
he's
personal business.
Representing us.
Yeah, no,
he's responsible to us. The town, through Holdco, owns Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to remember, back before 2000, this was all part of the Coburg Public Utilities Commission.
Which is a public company.
No, it was never a public company. It was just a business unit within the town. Just like Waterworks is today. It was just part of the town's operation. It was the same as Northam. Northam's not a separate company either.
Is there any way to get this information?
The Freedom of
Information Act?
Not as long as they're... The only way through is if the board of Holdco or Louis decided to do that, or if, as the shareholders,
mm-hmm.
which we are, if council decided to issue an order requiring Holdco and Louis to cough up.
Now, would that not be a conflict of interest if the town got together and decided to get that information from the mayor?
They're the shareholders.
I understand that. But does the mayor, would the mayor not direct them into not even pursuing that?
Well, surely the mayor is representing our interests at Holdco. I mean, what possible reason would he have to keep information from the owners of a company?
But the fact is, he is.
Yes.
And we don't know why. Well, I'm just saying, like we just wanted to find out why that would be, right? So,
well, he repeatedly says that it's a private company. This is the reason we don't know how much the executives make.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the compensation for their board of directors. We don't know whether they make a profit or not. We know nothing, and we have no input into it because they're a private company. Unlike anybody in the town, I mean, the Sunshine List gives us Ian Davies' salary, which it well should.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us the salary of our police chief, etc. But the president of Louis, we have no information about what his salary is.
Now, previous to 2000, Lakefront was subject to the Sunshine Rules.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever the president and the executive of Louis and Holdco were back then, they would have been listed on the Sunshine List if they were...
But were they a private company at that time?
No.
So the fact that...
It was part of the town.
So the fact they became a private company...
Yep.
Allows them to hide the information from the actual owners of the company.
And even if we got that information from one particular source, who's to say whether or not it be true or not? Right?
You're being a little cynical.
I'm just saying, I've lived here and I've seen some of the goings on, and my head swims sometimes when I think of it. And the fact that if I'm a part shareholder of this company, as a shareholder in a public or private company, I should get documentation on how well my investment's doing as a shareholder. And I urge the council to get involved, or else come election time, we may see a whole new set of people on there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. One of the comments that was made, quoted by Valerie McDonald in the article, I believe it was Valerie, and Gil, I think, made the same comment, was that the whole reduction of, and we'll use the 617,000 number for the moment, was all due to an interest rate change,
mm-hmm.
that the OEB made. This is just more bogus information and alternate facts and so on. the interest rate was changed for the $7 million, or I'm sorry, the allowable expense. Let's make this clear. The allowable expense, not the $500,000 interest that Louis pays to the town, okay, but the expense that they can claim, was previously limited to 4.54%.
Mm-hmm.
And in its review process and so on, the OEB adjusts that rate periodically. Okay? So in late October, early November, somewhere in there, they changed the rate to 3.72%. Now, that's consistent directionally with what the CTA and the other interveners were asking. The only difference was we were asking for a rate of 3%. The OEB came up with 3.72%. So they were a bit more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Okay? If you look at what that differential means in dollars, it's $57,400 per year. Or over the five-year term, it's $287,000. Okay? Which is $487,000 less than the full saving of $772,000. So how can Gill possibly claim that the interest rate change was responsible for the whole saving? And again, Lakefront didn't step up to the table and volunteer any of this.
No.
It was negotiated, and it was hard negotiation, eh, Ken?
Yep.
Well, I saw some of the negotiations Bernie Sanders did with some of these people that, the head of Exxon, who is now the environmental guy in the States, and all these other guys, they all seem to have a personal interest in certain things. Now, I don't know if Gil's got a personal interest in HOCO or what his deal is, or anything, John.
Well, I just wanted to use today to give another side of the story, the rest of the story, if we want to call it that, because I think it's really horrible when our mayor comes out and calls the citizens group liars without giving them the opportunity to express themselves. Yeah. So I want to thank both Ken and...
One closing comment, if I could, really, really quick, John. We would be really pleased to have a face-to-face discussion with the mayor. Bring your documentation, Gil, and we'll go through it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anytime you wish. Name the time and place.
Well, I don't think
and a public and it's public.
I don't think you're going to see that anytime soon. Trust me on this one here.
Again, thank you, gentlemen, Ken and
Brian Lambert. Again, always a pleasure when you guys can come back again. Come back again if you can. And again, we always welcome the opportunities. I mean, if you're not going to, they're not going to give you a chance to speak. Let us give you one. John, have a great weekend.